podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. We are turning our attention to fan team, as you can tell from Josh Waldridge being next to me, on screen, not in person, unfortunately. We could do a stream together live, Josh. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That's like my dream, to be honest. I've been waiting for you to ask. So, yeah.
Do it at Belushi's, where we frequently meet up to watch the football. Be an experience. We're down to the quarterfinals now. How are you finding it all? Enjoying it? I mean, it's been great, isn't it, really? I mean, in terms of football.
I think it's been the best tournament of my life. Like you're, I think you're a little bit older than me, so I don't know. Maybe you've seen a better one. But, 2002 was my first World Cup, and I think this is better than that one already. Mm. Like, even though that one was like one of the ones that's been touted as the good ones of our lifetime, I think this one's better already. It's been absolutely mental.
I mean, 98 was pretty wild, I have to say, and that was the first one that I remember. I was eight, but you know, I was kind of not that into football at the time. But I remember watching like all the England games in that, and Beckham's red card, and all that kind of stuff. That was a pretty incredible tournament. But yeah, I think in terms of general enjoyment, having been, you know, being more into football, I think this is the best tournament that I've seen in terms of the football, because there's been some great results, some big wins, there's been some amazing goals. It's just had everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. I've watched virtually every game. Yeah. I think the working from home's helped a lot of people with this one. I don't want to, not from my personal experience, but I know some people have been watching the football as well as working at the same time. Mm. So I think...
You're dedicated.
Not me. No, I haven't. I've been working on my laptop and with the screen not on. My computer hasn't... I know a lot of people have been using that to their advantage. So it certainly helps when you can, even though the games run at like 10 a.m., 1 p.m., you can still watch every game.
Absolutely.
What a great setup.
Yeah, it's been weird, hasn't it, the last few days not having the football on. None today. We're recording on Thursday. None yesterday either. So a bit of a break for everyone. But yeah, I miss it. The 10 a.m. games have been the ones for me. That's just been a new, never seen that before. It's been, you know, waking up pretty much and then going straight into a game. I mean,
not even for me. Like, literally, I was waking up and turning on the TV and the game was kicking off, literally, because I'm a late riser. So,
well, no, you weren't, because you were working and didn't have the TV on.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, come on, Josh. You've got to remember your own lies.
We'll cut that bit.
Let's talk about fan team then. So fan team have got the quarterfinals monster coming up. Deadline is Friday at 3 p.m. GMT. £15 entry, but a £15,000 prize pool. Massive prize pool in this. And we're going to be talking about some of the top selections and building a team for that. There's also the star pick, your favourite, for the quarterfinals. £10,000 guaranteed prize pool. £2 entry. Again, much smaller group of players. So if you can pick someone from that group that, you know, no one else has got, you could be getting a big reward on that. So we'll talk about some of the left field players in that as well. But to start with, let's do as we always do. Let's go over to the team selection screen, currently blank, no players selected, and let's talk through some of the fixtures. So we've got Croatia, Brazil. That's the first game tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Croatia, I mean, how Croatia have got this far, I don't really know, because they haven't exactly looked great, have they? I mean, they did well against Canada, played well in that game, but the other games, it looks to me they're really missing that striker up top.
Yeah, so they just seem like a team who've got just enough quality to scrape through at times. Like, and I think that's what's happened so far. They've got like the midfield quality, and it's just about enough with Kovacic, Brozovic, Modric. It's like that's been their nucleus for like 10 years, hasn't it? So that's got them through. Kovacic has had a really good tournament still. Mm. He looks great. He just oozes class. And Luka Modric is like, I think a lot of the other countries wish they had a player like Luka Modric, even at his age. He's just absolutely class. Yeah. But
surely this is a step too far from that to take on Brazil and win, right?
Yeah, and that's reflected in the prices. I think Croatia are the cheapest on the board, and Brazil are the most expensive, and that's what you'd expect. The bookies really fancy Brazil on this one, and I think most of us do too. So yeah.
Do you think a big score for Brazil? I mean, Croatia have been, you know, when they came into the tournament, they were, you know, their kind of defensiveness was touted. They haven't conceded a huge amount of goals in the tournament. Brazil look good, though. It's kind of unstoppable force meets immovable object in some ways.
Yeah, Brazil are reminding me of Man City, actually. I think the opponent sometimes doesn't matter. It just depends how they feel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if they want to score five or six, they'll score five or six. But Croatia are a very good defensive team. As you say, they're missing a striker, but I think defensively they're still really, really good. I think, for example, if we were playing Croatia, I would think, oh, that's going to be a really tight, close game. You know what I mean? So, yeah. What do you reckon? 2-0 or something?
Yeah,
something
I like think that? So. I can't see like a 4 or 5 for Brazil, but I don't think Croatia will score. I can see Brazil getting a couple. So yeah, 2-0, I'll say, on that one. Netherlands-Argentina. Interesting game. Very interesting game. Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so Argentina also have been good defensively, actually, considering that's not what I perceived them to be before the tournament at all, to be honest. I thought they were going to be like a lot more open than that and just try and use all their star-studded attackers they've got. But they've been quite good defensively in a few of the games in the tournament. So, yeah, I fancy Netherlands. I don't know why. They're definitely the underdogs, but I really fancy Netherlands.
Underdogs, good timing. Yeah. I don't know why. Jake only seems to want on my lap when we do these fan team videos. He's not always on my lap on the other streams. But yeah, something about your voice clearly soothes him into wanting to come up.
It's his favourite. Yeah, he knows that they're the best daily tournaments to play.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Jumping. Nice. Yeah. I mean, do you think Netherlands score? I mean, yeah, you're right. Argentina have been good defensively. I mean, Netherlands look solid as well. I like the back three they play. I think Ake does particularly well in that. And then obviously Van Dijk's having a strong tournament, cleaning up well. And then they've got, you know, Gakpo. We all kind of talked about him at the start, didn't we? Would he start? And if he did start, he's got, you know, the most goal involvements or something out of all the players in the tournament? Was that right? That seems like a lot, but
I'm not sure about that. But he obviously scored three in the first three games, like one in each of the first three games.
Coming into the tournament, didn't he have one of the best goal involvement records in?
One of the best for sure, yeah, because he's been banging them in for PSV, yeah. So, and including assists as well. He's been getting absolutely, I think it was like 17 plus 21 or something, if I remember rightly.
That's got to be right up the top.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you reckon here then? Do you reckon, you know, Depay is looking good again now he's kind of got over this injury? They've got Gakpo there. Do you think they will get through Argentina's defence?
I think Netherlands are going to nick this game. As I say, I know they're the underdogs, but I'm very aware they're the underdogs, but I've got a sneaky feeling for Netherlands. I think maybe they'll win 2-1, but I think both teams will score. Do you?
Spicy. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm going 2-1 Argentina in that. I think they'll just have enough. The Messi factor, that's a basic. If they didn't have him, then I'd probably agree with you. Morocco-Portugal, I mean, what a tournament Morocco have had. I did the Fantasy Football Scout tournament predictor, and I gave Morocco 0 points in the group stages. And I also had Belgium to go through and Canada. So I got that group completely and utterly, totally wrong, because Croatia and Morocco both through to the quarterfinals. But yeah, I mean, they've built it on the back of really good defensive performances. And then they've got that kind of flair with Buffon and Ziyech to cause problems. Not that they caused a huge amount of problems against Spain, but they didn't really need to. They had a game plan and executed it perfectly. But Portugal are starting to fire now. So I can't see past the Portugal winning this.
I've enjoyed watching Morocco this tournament. I love Hakimi as well. He is absolutely class. He is like fantasy gold, because he's so far forward. It's absolutely absurd. But and they've had the clean sheets to go with it, as you said. So he must be one of the top scoring defenders on the game, I think, on various games.
After our first video, didn't I, my main team? Classic.
I'm not surprised, to be honest, but I think he's been great. He looks really good. Something in the back of my mind, like, I think Portugal will win this game. I think it'll probably be a 2-0 again, like something just convincing, but like not completely off the board, because Morocco have been really good defensively. But you know, after a team wins 6-1, especially like a bit of an all over the place team like Portugal, I think, are they going to just lose the next game? Yeah. Are they going to just like all for nothing? So that's in the back of my mind. And if Morocco are like a big price, I might have a cheeky bet on them, I think, to win. But I think we got to default to like Portugal 2-0 or something like that, I think.
Yep. And then finally, the big game for us, England versus France. What a game that is going to be on Saturday at 7 o'clock. I find this a really hard one to call. Obviously, France got Mbappe. They're playing well. But England have been good. I mean, England weren't great in the first half against Senegal, but then turned it on massively in the second half. It's Mbappe, isn't it? If he turns up, which there's no evidence just that he won't, I can't really see how Kyle Walker and Harry Maguire can stop him.
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolute coin flip, this game. Like, this is as 50-50 as it comes, I think. And it's kind of brutal that the World Cup gets decided on these coin flips. Like, it's literally a coin flip game. But I've never predicted us to lose a World Cup game or a Euros game. I'm like one of those people who just... I think we're just good now. Like, I just really think we're quite good. I think I'd predict us to lose to Brazil. But other than that, I think everyone else, I think we can definitely beat, like, if we have a bit of luck on our side, so... It's going to go to extra time.
You're going
to
say it.
It's going to go to extra time. We'll win in extra time, not penalties. We're going to win in extra time 2-1. I think we'll do that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I've got us down to lose on penalties in this game, which would be absolutely heartbreaking. I don't know why I've gone for the most heartbreaking option. I think it's going to be tight though. I think it's going to be a really, really close game. I think a lot of people are thinking we're going to get blown away, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll have a plan for Mbappe, and we don't concede many goals. So, yeah, we should be all right. Anyway, let's build a team then. So, I think we both agree that the ones to target are probably Portugal, Morocco, Brazil, Croatia, which isn't that, you know, isn't the greatest advice ever, because it's pretty bloody obvious. But I think we should probably start with Portugal then. Obviously, it was their striker, wasn't it, that got all the headlines. Hat-trick, I mean, he's barely played for them. Ramos... up top, he's coming in at 12 million. You got Fernandes at 12.2, and then defence, some relatively kindly priced, all under 10 million, 9.3 for Guerrero, 9.1 for Cancelo, and the goalkeeper at 9.5. So who do you like out of Portugal?
Yeah, I really like the defence price. I think you've brought that in really nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Morocco don't score many goals, as good as they've been defensively. So I think you could definitely target the two fullbacks here, like Cancelo and Guerrero. And then if Cancelo doesn't play, you get Dalot, which is also absolutely great because he's very attacking as well.
Yep.
You don't want to triple the defences because the safety net's still in place. The stacking penalty is still in play, sorry. So you don't want to triple the defence because you'll lose 3 points across the three players if you triple, but if you double, you only lose 1 point, which is absolutely fine, I think. I think that's manageable. So I like Guerrero and Dalot. From the attackers, like, bearing in mind, you can have four from a team in this tournament, by the way. It's usually three, but because there's less teams, they're letting you have four this time. I much prefer Bruno Fernandes to any of the strikers in this. I think for 0-2 more versus Ramos, for example, I think Bruno Fernandes is just a better pick.
Yeah,
I think he's way more likely to play 90 minutes. He's got the penalties till the greatest of all time or something comes off the bench or something. So he's definitely got the penalties till then. So, I think Bruno Fernandes is the attacking asset from this team.
Yep. Would you go for a fourth, like, attacker? Would you go for, like, a Bernardo Silva or anyone else? Or would you leave it at the three?
For Portugal, I'm pretty confident I'm going to leave it at the three, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I don't like... On the season-long game, for example, Felix and Ramos are really cheap. They're like 8.5 and 7.5, which is really, really good. Mm. But on this, I'm not willing to pay 12 million and 11.7, respectively, for those two. So I think it's just Bruno and be happy with that, I think.
I'm happy with that as well. Let's go over to Brazil then. I mean, we're spoiled for choice, really, with the options, especially given that Fan Team have very kindly, you know, made players like Neymar and Vinicius midfielders. So other fantasy games, they're all strikers, and it's, you know... You're basically picking between Neymar and Richarlison, I think. But we've got a bit more choice. Richarlison, who we slated at the start of the tournament, has been absolutely incredible. Looks amazing, like, in this system and this team. It'd be interesting to know what happens when he goes back to Spurs, but I guess that's one for another video. Let's start with the attack. So Richarlison's 13.1. Pretty sure that he's going to start. Neymar's 13.2. Vinicius, 13. And then it drops to Rafinha, who I've had in my season-long team, who's been a massive disappointment. You know, when you compare him to, like, Vinicius and other players, you know, even Paqueta's been scoring. So he's not been great. And then in defence, a bit more expensive than the Portuguese guys. Marquinhos at 10.4, Sandro 10.3, Danilo 10.2, and the ever-present Thiago Silva 10.1. Yeah, so who do you like out of Brazil?
I think, like, just looking at these prices, it just looks like you get a massive discount on Neymar because he's so close in price to the others. Whereas on the other games, he's obviously quite a bit more expensive than the others. So Neymar immediately sticks out to me.
I think you've got to have Neymar, haven't you, I think?
Yeah.
13.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so Rafinha is, on the bookies odds, is more likely to score than Vinicius in this game, according to the bookies odds, which I find really surprising, actually. Like, Rafinha had about, I think he had about 8 shots last game. He had 4 on target. I know that. So he's doing everything but scoring.
Yeah, well, that's Rafinha, isn't it? You hope that sometimes they take their club form away and they become a more clinical, better player, you know, playing for international side. But everything I've seen is one of the best players on the pitch. Loads of shots, loads of chances, playing really well. No returns.
Yeah, it's like it's like the simulation just keeps like repeating over and over again. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Whereas Richarlison's turned into a clinical striker now. So it's yeah. At least he switched for them because they needed someone to step up a little bit. So they've got a really good team. How much do you think they'll be dancing this game? Do you think they'll have a few dances this game with a few goals?
Probably just three dances, two goals, and then the final whistle, one, and Roy Keane going crazy. That's probably my prediction.
It's nice to see. Like, I don't mind that sort of thing personally when they're actually like delivering the goods. Like, it's like if they're playing well, they deserve to be having fun out there as well, I think, as well as like getting the job done. But yeah, I think I'd probably want another attacker alongside Neymar, but I'm just a bit worried about the budget. So who do you like out of Vinicius, Rafinha and Richarlison?
Yeah, probably Richarlison, given what I've seen. I mean, just to completely U-turn on everything we said earlier on. I think that we were worried about the lack of safety net. I just don't think that's a concern with him because they're not going to drop him. He's been arguably their best player in the tournament so far. So, yeah, I really like Richarlison. I think he's so direct, the way he's playing, with so much confidence as well. And, you know, any of the team could score, but there does feel like there's a bit of a gearing up to get him goals as well. And when you've got that amount of quality around him, it's hard to look past him. So I'd probably go for Richarlison and then Vinicius and then, yeah, sorry, Rafinha, but you've been awful for me in this tournament.
Yeah, it feels like the time he's going to turn it on as soon as you give up on him.
100%. 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we put Richarlison in?
Yeah, I like Richarlison. I think, just coming to your point earlier, I think if anyone gets dropped, it's probably Paqueta. And then, if they go a bit more defensive, because they've got 5 attackers playing basically currently, which is absolutely mental. But if they drop anyone, I think it's Paqueta or Rafinha. You would be the next one, actually, I think, after the... Because I think Vinicius, Neymar and Richarlison are starting for sure. So I think it's Paqueta, if anyone.
Yep. Defence? Do we like any defenders? Seeing as we don't think Croatia are going to score, probably means we've got to have at least one, right?
Oh, yeah, I like them for sure. They're just like, I'm just worried about the budget, but I think we might be okay, actually. So, yeah, I think it's fine to have one or two of them if we can afford, like, obviously. Yeah, maybe even the goalkeeper, Alisson, that could be okay. If we're going for the sort of Portugal fullback double up, it might be nice to have, like, a keeper and a defender or something.
Okay, let's stick Alisson in then. Okay, so now we need to start finding some budget players.
I've got one.
Okay.
What about Memphis Depay at 8.3? That seems really good to me.
Absolutely. I'm all over that.
That's obscene, I think.
Great. I've just spotted it. Love that.
Yeah, and I don't mind Harry Kane at 9 million either, to be honest. I think there's some real cheaper options here. Yeah, Depay's great. Gakpo's obviously great as well if we were sort of going for a real Netherlands line, because I think he's 8 million as well, or some 8.4, sorry. So. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Bellingham 7.8. I'm just reeling off some cheaper guys here because we need about 3 of these probably, I'd say, to like make a team. We've got to ignore Croatia and Morocco, obviously, because we've got the double defenses from Brazil and Portugal. So we really do need to look at England and Netherlands, I think, because they've been priced a bit cheaper than France and Argentina, respectively. Messi's 10.3. That is ridiculous. That is he's one of the best players in the world. I think that's
a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, if we're going for Richarlison, Depay and Kane, that means no Mbappe. Does that mean we go England defence?
Yeah, I think you can get the money from there because they're very cheap. And I think that's what I ended up doing in one of my drafts, actually. So I think you can go double it, like Shaw and one of the centre-backs, probably, like Maguire or Stones, just try and hit a header or something. And then I think you can probably afford whatever you want after that, hopefully.
Is it just suicide to go without Mbappe, though?
Well, it depends. Like, I think England could win the game 1-0. I think that's a reasonable result, right? I think it could even be 0-0 after 90 minutes, you know what I mean? So I think the clean sheet's not out of the question because I do think it'll be very tight. But yeah, I understand you're definitely playing with fire there going without Mbappe. Like, the thing is, if they score it, well, he will be part of it, right? He will be involved. But you just sort of back in that they don't score, basically, aren't you? That's all you're doing here. So
it's what I'm doing with my season long team because I'm like 2K, so I'm not exactly in the running for the big money. So I need something a bit different. So I'm thinking double England defense and getting rid of Mbappe, which seems nuts, but I've got to try something because Mbappe is going to be so highly owned and popular. But if England do get the clean sheet and you've got the double England defense, then I don't really sense that's going to be too widely used.
I'm doing the same as you in those teams, in those positions, but I'm going 10 times more aggressive. So I'm going 4x England defence, obviously. So I'm going like the keeper, Shaw, Stones, Maguire. I think the centre-backs have got more attacking threat than Kyle Walker, to be honest. So I'm just going for the centre-backs and just hoping that they're the ones who nick a goal, you know what I mean? But I'm also doing it the other way because obviously I've got quite a few teams. So I'm doing some with four France defenders because they could easily win 1-0 as well, in which case you're neutralising Harry Kane, you neutralise a lot of people have got Bellingham, you're neutralising him, you know what I mean? So
I think it's the way you go with this monster is you pick one of England or France and you go with it. Because what the French prices are a little bit more expensive than England as the favourites, but they're still cheap. I mean, Upamecano 7.2, Varane 7.3, Hernandez 7.7. So the England players are 6. I mean, Maguire at 5.9 is a steal. But the French players aren't too much. But I think you just pick one and go with the defence and hope for a tie.
And hope it's a win to nil. Yeah, you just got to hope one of them wins to nil. Because I think a lot of people are going to take the Netherlands players because I think a lot of people will fancy that game for both teams to score personally. So like take Messi, take Depay and just hope they both get a goal in like a 1-1 or something, you know what I mean? But the France-England game's a much better one to sort of go for three from one side, I think, like you say. So yeah, I like a double defence from either side and then Mbappe or Kane or even Bellingham. He's so advanced in this 4-3-3. We said it before the tournament, like if we play 4-3-3, he will be so advanced. Like he will be like I didn't quite think he was going to be the furthest forward of the three, to be honest, against Senegal. But like, yeah, we're playing two holding mids with him. So it's just perfect to have him in there. So I think he's very kindly priced as well, to be honest, this system.
Our team at the moment is over budget, minus 1.2. So we need to shave off a little bit. It's Alisson in goal, Guerrero, Cancelo, Shaw and Maguire, Fernandez, Neymar, Messi, Bellingham, Richarlison and Depay.
I did the mute thing. That's the first time I've ever done that. That's crazy.
Classic.
What we could do is we could swap perhaps Alisson to Pickford, and then you can probably upgrade the likes of a Maguire or a Shaw up to like a Gakpo or something like that. I think that might be a good way to do it.
Oh, that's why you're on these streams, Josh, because that is...
Well, perfect. I'm hoping it works for
that
a start. Is
perfect. That gives us Pickford, Guerrero, Cancelo, Shaw, Fernandez, Neymar, Messi, Bellingham, Gakpo, Richarlison and Depay with 200k left in the bank. Look at that. What a suggestion.
Wow. That wasn't supposed to work out. We were supposed to have to fiddle around with that for a few more minutes. But yeah, that
no
worked.
No Brazil defence. That's the only big problem with this team that I see. Captain? Loads of players we can choose.
Plenty of options. I mean, the World Cup's just like... That's why it's so exciting, I think. If even on the season long you were talking about earlier, I think there's going to be like 10 or 12 guys that people are captaining genuinely. And I think it's going to be quite a nice spread. So whoever you go with, I think you can make some points easily. I'd rule out the England players probably.
I think it's going to be Neymar or Fernandes for me.
Yeah, not sure. I was going to say not sure I like the Netherlands for captain either. So I think I could fade them as well. So yeah, I like Messi or Fernandes or Neymar. Yeah.
It's so insightful for the three best players. Like, it's nice.
The thing is, that's how people are going to land them. Because Mbappe is in play as well, you've already got a divide of four where it's going to be pretty evenly split between the four of them, I think. So, like, all of a sudden, you've already got a differential captain without even doing anything, you know what I mean? So, who do we think is going to score the most goals? Like, I'd still lean Brazil, I think.
Yeah, I think they've got the biggest chance.
Yeah.
Like I know we said we think it's going to be a 2-0, but it could be a lot higher. I think ceilings and floors and all that kind of stuff. I like Neymar as captain. I just think, you know, I think a lot of people in this game might go for some of the other options. Like they might go for Vinicius or Richarlison, or, you know, try and find someone a bit different. But I still think he's the best option in the Brazil team for this game. So I'm gonna suggest we go for Neymar.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, perfect. So that's our team. Let's have a look at the one you sent me. As always, one of your slightly different ones. So this is five at the back. Of course, it's different. Costa and Guerrero, two Portuguese defenders. Acuna and Molina, double Argentinian defence. Very different to what we've gone for with our double Dutch attack. Shaw and Maguire. And then Fernandes, Rafinha, Messi, Neymar and Harry Kane up top. So you're hoping for some tight games in this and a load of nil-nils.
Yeah, well, yeah, more like 1-0 towards Brazil, Argentina and England respectively, I think. Yeah. But I think you were right to say that me and you are double Dutch, because I think that sums us up very well. But yeah, like I didn't spot how cheap the Netherlands players were when I put this together, to be honest, because I think I much prefer actually playing the Netherlands attackers than the Argentina defenders now. But you know, it's just I don't think many people will play Argentina defence, as I said. I think a lot of people will pair Depay with Messi and just hope it's a back and forth game. So yeah, something a bit different there. The England thing I talked about, I think England are just too cheap across the board, because I think it's a genuine coin flip game and we're priced just enough cheaper than the French players to make me say I'd definitely go England, I think. So, yeah, love Shaw's attacking threat as well. I think he's got some there for sure. For sure. And then accidental. And then, yeah, I landed on like Neymar in my last spot, I think, to just like I was just like, I've got enough for him. So I just plonked him in there, I think. So
yeah. I like it. Yeah, this is the kind of team that could win, I think. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Do you think there's a possibility for like three or four clean sheets in this round? Do you think the game's going to be tighter than they normally would be if they were just like, I don't know,
I think there could be clean sheets in for Brazil, Portugal and one of England or France, because I think that's going to be tight. I think the Netherlands-Argentina game has goals in it, based on what I've seen so far. But, you know, you never know. They could both set up to be really negative. I mean, Van Gaal's kind of the master at doing that and nullifying Argentinian threat. So, it wouldn't surprise me too much if that went into extra time at 0-0 as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think on these games, you can't. It's really hard to play for 0-0s because you sort of want your defenders to have a bit of attacking potential as well. You know what I mean? So they can only have attacking potential if it's not 0-0, you know what I mean? So it's like I tend to lean more towards playing 1-0s, and if it is 0-0, it's still not a disaster because you've still got the double clean sheet or whatever on the one side. But yeah, it could be a 0-0 merchant that wins this slate, actually. If someone just goes, I'm going to play two Portugal defenders, two Morocco defenders, like that could easily be 0-0 going into extra time as well, because Morocco have been so astute defensively. So yeah, really interesting one. You can go a million different ways, even though there's only four games. So yeah. I really like this monster.
I like it, yeah, me too. There's links in the description if you haven't checked it out already. Please do so. Again, as we mentioned at the top of all these videos, it is for 18 plus only. Gambleaware.co.uk for all the facts about gambling. Don't spend money on gambling that you can't afford to lose, because that's just silly. It's supposed to be a bit of fun, and it is fun, but obviously, you know, make sure you're gambling within your means. Josh, awesome stuff as always. We will be back ahead of one of the semi-final or final, I think maybe the final, actually, because they all come quite thick and fast. But good luck with the monster. Hope we win some money, and I'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, man. Take care. Bye, everyone.